coming up on Your Best Life.
Why don't you think bigger than you've ever thought before? Why don't you think the possibilities could be amazing for my life? Instead of me just being a shriveled up little old human being at the end of my life, I could be a hugely abundant blessing to the world, bringing new life and new grace and the gospel to thousands of people around the world.
Welcome to another message by Pastor Phil Pringle, leader of C3 Church. We are praying that this message will bless you and help you live your best life. For more information about Pastor Phil and C3, please visit myc3church.net.
Luke 15, verse 4 to 6 says, "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it?" And Jesus is saying, you need to prioritize the one that is lost over the 99 that are found. In fact, to emphasize the point, he gives three parables. He says, if a woman loses one coin out of 10, she doesn't try and look after the 9 that she's got left. She searches the entire house until she finds the one that was lost. And then he gives another parable about two sons. And he says, the father's concern more than anything was about the son that was lost. And every day he'd be looking out for him coming home. And for you and I, reaching lost people in this city is absolutely imperative all around the world. That is why we build Bible colleges, why we build television studios, why we build this building, why we're purchasing other buildings in the city, so that we have got permanent places of worship where people discover Jesus. And I've got to tell you that oftentimes the church has drifted away from that and ended up just involved in social action, or ended up in just worship services, or just holding a church service so people can feel religious and go through the motions. But you need to understand that is not why we hold church, just so that we can have church services and people can come along, worship, hear the word, and that's it. I mean, we want every believer to be activated. And out of this church have gone literally thousands of ministers and people trained in our college around the world. And every time you get involved in giving to Vision Builders, you're helping people come to Christ. I want to give you a couple of stories, and I know that this couple are here tonight in church, Kara and Stephen. And I want to talk about people who've met the Lord just like in the last couple months or so. So it's not like years ago. This is right now. In recent weeks, Kara and Stephen were saved last month on a Sunday morning in the 10 a.m. service. Kara is an ex-CAP client and kept in touch on Facebook. She got in touch to tell me she's expecting a baby with a boyfriend, Stephen. They met a few years ago when they were both in juvenile detention center. Stephen has been in prison and juvenile detention since he was 14 years old. He's released in December. This is the longest he's ever been out. His father took his own life when Stephen was about to turn 5. His mother didn't want him, and he grew up with a stepmother that hated him and abused him. His stepmother has custody of Stephen's son. Stephen wants his son back, but has to prove he is stable and can stay out of prison. Kara is 32 weeks pregnant. They are expecting a son. Stephen recently lost his grandma as well and is struggling with grief. They're going to Alpha for the next 5 weeks. They love coming to church, and Stephen's hand shot up high for salvation. The chains are broken and he's set free in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, people are in a lot more trouble sometimes than we think, but we have an answer. We have a solution for people that will set them on a pathway that their life can be utterly and completely transformed, absolutely transformed. Here's the second one, Rihanna. I came to church on Easter Sunday because my friend's brother wanted to go to an Easter service. We came to the 10 a.m. service. I just wanted to know God. When Pastor Phil was speaking, I felt, yes, I want this. I know this is true. And when I went down the front, I had these crazy shivers up and down my left side. That night I came to church again, and every Sunday since. I've had the same shivers each time I start worshiping God, and when we pray together, surrendering to God. I became a volunteer for Presence, planned only to go at night, but managed to get out of the other commitments, and I came to every single session. I've just started having hectic worship sessions on the bus. I just wish other people on it can know God so we can all worship Him together. Amen. Woo. Here's one. This is the third one, last one. Anne wrote me a handwritten letter this last week. I got it on my desk. Pastor Phil Pringle, I watched your program on TVS last Sunday morning, the 7th of June. I mean, we're on a variety of TV stations. I don't even know how to get this one. TVS is a little station for people out west and in Sydney. And we're on there every Sunday morning. And this person was actually watching and said, your first prayer to heal relationships healed my broken relationship with God. And I prayed your second prayer with you, asking the Lord to make me born again. I received the Holy Spirit. And after it was all over, I sat there feeling as if a fire had been lit within me. I now have changed from worshiping myself to worshiping God, and from serving my master money to serving the Lord Jesus. Thank you for helping me, Anne. Amen. Woo. So here's the thing. For us to keep reaching out to people, this is our vision, to reach individuals all around the city of Sydney who are feeling stressed. And there are a lot of people who drive a fancy car, live in a fancy house, and look like they're doing okay, but depression can visit them as much as it can visit a poor person and a person who's in trouble. Discouragement, depression, all these things can afflict every heart in this city. And you and I have the Prince of Peace that we can bring into people's lives. And so we're doing that. We currently, like I said, have 23 services. Our new services that we've started this year are Warunga, Bankstown, Narrabeen, and Auburn. We have got new services planned for Avalon, Manly, Oxford Falls Grammar School, Macquarie University, Parramatta, Mount Druitt, Glebe, Parramatta. Other services possible in 2015 are Mossman, Penrith, Chatswood, Hornsby, St. Mary's, and Lakemba. We want to keep reaching out all around the city. And every time we do that, it can cost up to like $50,000 just to get all the speakers and the screens and everything like that. It's not like they just start. We got to hire halls and reach out to people. Jake, who's here tonight, started, 6 weeks ago in Warunga? Seventh Sunday today. Had two people come to Christ this morning, four people last week. Every week there have been salvations in that brand new service in Warunga. Averaging 150 people every week. 150 people every week. And so what I was saying before is very, very important, that the way you travel through your trials today is going to determine your tomorrow. Because if you travel well, you're going to find that a door will open and suddenly you're involved in a service, or you're involved in some expansion, or because somebody went there, we need somebody here. And this is going to grow and keep expanding. And you will find that everything you are going through and everything you are learning is getting you ready for your tomorrow. And you will find that God will put His hand on you and use you in unique and miraculous ways so that you will have the most meaningful existence you could ever possibly have. One of the ways that He prepares you for tomorrow is to take you through something like this Vision Builders program, because there's no way that He's going to use somebody who's unprepared to actually give something of themselves to build the kingdom. He's not going to use us when we are resisting Him on all sorts of other issues. If we want to be used by God, we need to step into whatever situation He has put us in. And here's the thing, you're not here by your own device. You're not here by your own design. You're not sitting here tonight because you decided it's going to, you are here by divine design. He has put you in this church. He has put you in this place so that you can become part of what this place is doing. And where the direction and the vision goes, God has said, I want you to be part of that. I got a vision to reach the city. I got gifts inside you, your personality, your experiences are all coming together to help us accomplish what God has put in our hearts. And His plan for you is far bigger than any plan you've ever thought for yourself. You may have thought some big plans, but I can guarantee you God's plans are bigger. And as you step into listening to God, even here tonight, as to how you can become involved in this Vision Builders program, you can say, Lord, guide me. And you will find that being obedient to Him leads you into provision. Oh man, next week, can't wait to talk about that. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want, I shall not lack. If He's your shepherd, you go where He tells you to go, and where He tells you to go, there is provision. Elijah, go to the brook Cherith. They're the ravens. If he'd gone somewhere else, he wouldn't have got the provision. And when God starts to guide you, like here tonight, step into doing what He's calling you to do, you're going to find there is provision there. There is an abundance. There's a complete release of all the resources of God for your life. You know, this power of transformation, it's seen most clearly in my mind in the life of a guy in Luke 19. His name is Zacchaeus. And it says in Luke 19, verse 1, then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. We'll go down to verse 8. Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor. And if I've taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because he is also a son of Abraham. This is Zacchaeus. He's a short little guy, probably got bullied at school, became a tough little guy, didn't care what anybody thought. And he has this aspiration to be extraordinarily wealthy. So he gets to be rich, and he's hated by everybody. Not only is he short, he comes up short every time. He can't get through the crowd. Nobody's letting him through the crowd. He climbs up the sycamore tree. Everybody hates Zacchaeus. They spit on him when he walks past because he collects taxes for the Romans. He's a Jewish guy who's oppressing his own countrymen to get taxes off them and give them to the Romans. But he doesn't just collect the taxes he knows he should get. He increases it. He charges them double, sometimes triple, whatever they owe. So if you owe like $1,000 tax to the Roman government, he'd come and he'd say, give me $3,000. And you've got no way of not doing it because he's got soldiers backing him up. The Roman Empire needed more money for their ever-expanding borders to pay all their soldiers. And the only way they could do it is keep taxing the citizens. That's why they left local economies intact whenever they would conquer a nation. They didn't wipe it out like the Persians. They actually left it all intact so that they could keep the economies going and keep taxing the people. So here is Zacchaeus taking money from people wrongfully. And now Jesus has identified him and says, Zacchaeus, I'm coming to your house for lunch. Astonishing. Everybody hates Zacchaeus. They can't understand why Jesus would do that. What are you doing? He's a traitor to the nation of Israel. He steals money off all of us. Why would you go and have... He's a wild, corrupt, immoral man. He's horrible. Nobody likes him. Why would you go to his place? And that's the love of God. That's the love of Jesus. I don't know about you, but I love hanging out with people that other people hate. I know I've got some minister friends like that, you know. People hate them. And I think, I'm just going to rebel and love them. Amen. And show mercy where everybody wants to be judgmental and critical. And I sometimes ring up pastors who are having a tough time in the press or whatever. I say, hey, how you doing? I mean, you need to know you've got one friend in town. Amen. And sometimes justifiably almost, because they've made a mistake, they stumbled badly, but you know, man, but for the grace of God, there go every one of us. And so Jesus reaches out to this man. Well, coming into the house, when you've got a holy man like Jesus in your house, you suddenly become aware of how short you really are. You're not just short, but you've fallen short of the glory of God. You are way, there's a lot. I don't know if you've ever been at a restaurant and you've come up short with how much money you got, or you want to buy a house and you come up short. Well, man, you want to get right with God? You're shorter than Zacchaeus. He is short, but all of us come up real short. And so he's suddenly aware of how short he really is. He says, you know what? I'm sorry, I've messed up in my life. So I tell you what, I'm going to give four times as much as I stole off anybody. And I'm going to give all my goods, half of my goods away to the poor. And Jesus said, today, salvation has come to this house. So as far as Jesus was concerned, the evidence that that man was saved was that he had turned from being a taker to a giver. He was no longer trying to get, he was trying to give. That is the evidence that Jesus has come into your life. And I met some believers who are so withholding and so stingy with everything. I wonder if they've really met him. Because if you've met him, he will turn your heart around and you'll be a giver. You won't be complaining about offerings. You won't be complaining about how you can bless other people. You'll be saying, yes, let me in there. Let me be a giver in this life, not a taker. I don't want to walk around with entitlement. I want to walk around with empowerment to give. I want to walk around with not what the world owes me, but what I owe the world. And it may seem like a challenge to live like that, but that's what Jesus transforms our hearts to be. That's the only place you're going to find greatness. And suddenly you'll become a tall person, bigger than you've ever been before. That week, can you imagine the joy in Jericho? Zacchaeus, this little guy, turns up at your door. Yes, Zacchaeus, what do you want? Last week you took $4,000 off me when you only meant to take $1,000. He says, well, Pastor Phil, I've come here because I want to give you $12,000. Why would you give me $12,000? I'm repaying four times as much as I stole off everybody. I said, what? Why are you doing that? I met Jesus. Jesus came into my life. I got a lot of people to see, man. So please, take the money. Goes to the next house, knocks on the door. The widow woman with all the bunch of sticks on her shoulder that he taxed the life out of says, lady, how much did I take off? She said, you took $2,000 off me. Well, here's $8,000. Went right down the street, just knocking on the, can you imagine the joy in Jericho? Everybody's dancing around. Injustice was turned around to blessing on that day because of Christ. And then when he had finished that, he rounded up all the homeless people, all the poor people in the city, said, here, I'm going to give half of my goods to look after you all and feed you all and bless you all. They were all dancing that week because Jesus had transformed one man's life, possibly the wealthiest man in the city. When you've met Christ, transformation will come into your life and your giving will bring joy and revival to every city around this world. We can be involved in bringing release. The reason God wants to bless you is so that you can be a blessing. Some of you young guys here tonight, I mean, if I wasn't doing what I'm doing, I'd be going for it and making as much money as I possibly could in this world to fund the kingdom and the preaching of the gospel. I've read stories of men like Letourneau, who made earth-moving machinery. At the beginning, he was given 10%, gave his tithe, then he gave 20, then he gave 30. By the end of his life, he was giving 100% of his income away. And he was being a blessing to the preaching of the gospel all around the world. Colgate, William Colgate, the guy who brushes your teeth now, he started as a young boy gathering soap out of the gutters, trying to make enough money just to get by. But he decided to start a company, began giving and tithing to the kingdom of God. It catapulted him into becoming one of the most powerful leading brands of toothpaste and soap in the world. And that's like 100 years ago he started that company. Quaker Oats. Oka Waits. Quaker Oats. Quaker Oats. These oatmeal, there are hundreds of great companies that are still alive today that were begun by giving believers. You would be surprised at the origins of companies that have blessed the world. You know, instead of sitting there tonight thinking, oh, I'm not going to give you, like, why don't you think bigger than you've ever thought before? Why don't you think the possibilities could be amazing for my life? Instead of me just being a shriveled up little old human being at the end of my life, I could be a hugely abundant blessing to the world, bringing new life and new grace and the gospel to thousands of people around the world. I know people who have big dreams, but they're so small in their thinking, and they reveal it right at moments like this because they go, they kind of get all bottled up. But this is exactly the moment where you step out and you enlarge your heart. This is the moment where you develop the kind of bigness that'll buy you a house in Sydney. This is the moment where you develop an enlargement that'll help you start a church, where you develop a largeness of heart that takes you into being a person you've never been before. Hi friends, I am so excited about our new album, Only Love. can download it on iTunes. It is fantastic. I've found this has such a buoyant effect on my soul. When I'm listening to this music, it lifts me, it helps me worship God. And I'm telling you, during the day when I'm not even listening to the music, those songs keep singing themselves on the inside of my heart. I know you're going to love this great album, Only Love, from C3 Church.
Negative circumstances constantly send us the message that we are far less than what the New Testament declares us to be.
Fact is, by grace, He has fully qualified, fully accept you, and all you can do is say, thank you, Lord, I'll receive it.
Who are you in Christ? The latest book from Pastor Phil Pringle intends to awaken us from that spiritual kind of amnesia that dilutes our true identity.
As long as you remain in that covenant place, you will find yourself accepted and qualified by God to sit at the right hand of the throne of God.
The Born Identity, who we are and what we have in Christ, is available now at philpringle.com.
Hey, it's Beck Pringle here. Thanks for joining us today. We wanted to take a moment to say a special thank you on behalf of Pastor Phil and Chris to all of our friends and partners and congregations all around the world that help to make this podcast possible. We're praying and believing with you for favor and blessing over all of your lives. To tell us your story of how this message has impacted you, please email us at podcast@myc3church.net.